Salvador Alegre, todos los que están aquí, Señor, bendice, y los que no vinieron también, en el nombre del Señor Jesucristo. Gracias.
May be seated. Amen. No one had drifted on the flood's many days. He searched for land in various ways. On Easter Sunday, I was leading service and music, and had my arms up praising the Lord, and it's like a spear hit me in the back, and it just kept like it was just pushing through my body. And Brother Dalen was with me. We went to the hospital, stayed in the emergency room, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 hours after church on Sunday, Easter Sunday, and they ended up putting me in the hospital. Because they didn't know what it was, and the pain man, it was unbelievable. And he said it was, my doctor actually was having to work with the CDC on the case because I'd got, apparently they found out I got a splinter from some packaging overseas in my body. And it was killing my T10 vertebrae. And if you ever seen a pork chop bone, what it looks like when it dies out, that he said that's what my back was doing. And so I had to go start with the cancer patients and start taking 25 milliliter dip of vancomycin, the strongest antibiotics. Brother Dale, man, we prayed, and you know, they first thought it was cancer, and it was all kinds of crazy stuff before they figured it out. But anyway, I went through about 40 days of drips every morning before I went to work. And I'd come in to work at night from work, and I'd cry out to God to take me. The pain was so bad that I was sweating so bad it just kept pouring off my head, and I'd cry myself to sleep. Nothing would help. But after about 30 days of the treatment, I came up and got prayed for, and things just started turning around. But I literally cried out to God to take me every night. But he was a healer, and he saved me from that. I have no problems lifting, bending, anything from that. It's just a miracle, because he's a miracle-working God. Amen? Amen? Let's all stand. Sing this, I feel the pull, man. I feel it this evening. At night I lay in bed and I begin to cry.
Control. I feel the pull.
this evening. Let's pull on his words as brother comes for the message that God has for us this evening. Amen.
Tonight, well, then it's there for you if you need it. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be in the middle of the week. Amen. We appreciate all of you. We had a wonderful time Sunday, and the second service was worship, and we sure did appreciate everybody staying. We have some new singers among us now.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you, Brother Santos. Good to have you here tonight. I'm sorry. You need to put that on. I'm talking to you. He got up and sang two beautiful songs in Spanish, and he said, I never done this before. So the Lord struck him. See, if y'all would come, the Lord has struck y'all to do something. But we had a good time. We really had a good time, and we practiced some new songs, and we're going to do that again this coming Sunday afternoon. We'll have a question and answer session. I think I'm just going to try to answer one question because it may be a little bit long, but what we'll do, we'll start at 3 o'clock. We'll eat lunch. We'll start at 3 o'clock right into the questions and answers, all right? Then we'll do the extra song service afterwards, practice and all those things. New songs. I got one I want them to try Sunday. So good to be able to do that. I told June, I said, you just feel the closeness because you got all your musicians working, you've got all your people working together for one common goal. And that's not to satisfy yourself or satisfy anybody but God. And to do it to the best of your ability. Amen. He gives you his best. He wants your best. Amen. Amen. He wants your best. Amen. So let's just remember that. Also remember this coming Wednesday, I'll be speaking. Next Wednesday, the 2nd, Brother Manuel will be speaking. That will be the 2nd Wednesday. All right, now what we're going to do is now, if Brother Joe will pull that up, I know some of you have already seen it, but what we're going to do is we're going to have our fall, we used to call it Fall Festival, but now we're going to have our fall. It's going to be called Fall Fellowship, and we're going to be fellowshipping with the believers in Anderson. They're coming down here, and Brother Bruce is going to speak for us that Sunday. No Sunday school. All right? Look at the date. Don't come in here this coming Sunday and say, are we doing that today? Or why are you here? Well, I preach here. This is my church. So, like the brother asked the brother about, so who's going to do your church dedication? He said, I am. It's my church. That was Brother Harold Carroll a long time ago. But if you'll notice, Sunday, September the 6th, there's only one of them coming up. And that's not this coming Sunday, but the next. We will not have any Sunday school. We won't have a foot washing and communion. We'll have it the next Sunday, which will be the 13th, all right? Because I called Brother Bruce, and I wanted him to come speak for us, and I was just sitting there, and I asked him, I said, well, do you, all your people just want to come down? We'll just bring, you just close your service? And he said, sure. So they're going to close their service down. They're all coming here. All right, so we'll have service here, and that'll be, we'll be kind of jammed up, but we'll start at 10:30, no Sunday school. We'll start right into the, to the Brother Ryan. He'll come up just like you usually do, but there'll just be no Sunday school. All right, we'll start at 10:30. That'll give them time to get here. And if they got here at 10 o'clock with all the kids they got, we couldn't have Sunday school. They wouldn't be a room big enough to put them in. All right, and we may not have enough room here to put them in the sanctuary, but we're going to do the best we can. But then what we're going to do is, we're going to go down to Hidden Acres afterwards, down where we have the Valentine's banquet, and it has the address up here on the... Do you notice that that 6467 is the same address we have here? Mm-hmm. Ours is 6467 Main Street, Lula. That's 6467 Old Gilsville Road. Mm-hmm. So, pretty cool, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where we like to go. So we're going to go down there. And Sister Rachel has got us. We got some bouncy houses, and we've got some different things that we can do for the kids. And we'll have a meal there. Now, you need to get with Sister June about the rest of the meal. But what we're going to do is we're going to have spiral ham, spiral sliced ham, and chicken tenders. So the cafe in Gillsville is going to cook the chicken tenders for us. And they're going to cook the macaroni and cheese for us. And they're going to cook the green beans for us. That way we'll have them in big pans, because they're going to be probably, if we had 106 here Sunday, so they're going to bring probably 50. So we'll probably feed 150 people or close to it. And a lot of them are kids, but mac and cheese, all that. But other than that, everybody else needs to get with Sister June and figure out other things to get, like potatoes and gravy and rolls and stuff like that, okay? But we're going to provide that, and we'll have a fellowship with them. And he thought, man, he said, we've never been treated like this before. So we're going to love them because they're going through a problem. They're going through a turmoil in their life that you've never went through here. Right. Amen. 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 So, but we're going to love them then. We're going to love them through this. We're going to show them love and hospitality. And that's what we're going to do September the 6th. After the service is over, Brother Bruce will be preaching. We'll immediately go down there, and we'll have the food and everything down there for us to fellowship. The bouncy houses will be there. The slide will be there. And there's something else I think Sister Rachel got. But anyway, it's for the kids. Don't none of you being get in there. Stay off them slides, boys. Donnie. We'll be praying for the sick. We'll be praying for the sick if you get on that thing. But that's what we're going to do in 2 weeks. So that'll be our new fall fellowship, not our festival. It's a fall fellowship. So we're going to bring them, the two churches, together. So I believe in fellowship. Amen. I don't believe in being on an island by yourself. Amen. I know you do too, because everybody pitches in, and we all do. We all help. But just ask Sister June about the other things that we need to get. So the word of the Lord is more important, though. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. If anybody has a need, just remember this. It's on your WhatsApp page. All right? So read it over again if you need to. But it's up there. Brother Joe did a wonderful job putting it together. And we sure do appreciate him. But let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you so much. You died on a cross to save our sins. And in doing that, Lord, we now have a fellowship with you. But Father, you're not here in human flesh. You're here in spirit. So Lord, you divided yourself on the day of Pentecost in a many-membered body. And that many-membered body now carries your voice. It carries your fellowship. It carries your grace. It carries your mercy. And Lord, fellowship is what we need more than anything, coming together and fellowshipping around the Word of God. Father, I pray that you'd be with us on that weekend, Lord, that you would give us strength, Lord. Give Brother Bruce and the young people there that are going to church, Father, help them through this, Lord. You're the only one that has the balm of Gilead. You're the only one that's the Savior. You're the only one, Lord, that can heal a broken heart better than anybody else. And Lord, we want to just love them and wrap our arms around them and tell them we're here for them, Father. We love you for what you've done for us, Lord, and brought us together. My, the many people that we all would have never met if it hadn't been this message. If it hadn't been for Christianity, we'd have never met. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that we have a circle of brothers and sisters, Lord, that come here and that are out in other places, Lord, as we travel and go to different spots. That, Lord, they know that we love them. And this church is a church that loves even our enemies. And those that despitefully use us, as you said, Lord, we must love them, Father. And it's not a must. We do it out of a loving heart. Father, just be with us now in the furtherment of this message. Bless us now, the ones that are sick, Lord, be with them. The ones that are traveling, Brother Luis and them, I guess, are still traveling, Lord. I pray that you'd be with them, bring them back home safe. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to go on back to the fourth seal. All right, and we're going to continue on, and we're going to bring a little something extra tonight. And we appreciate your patience. You try to get into something, and then all of a sudden, you got visitors. And my dad was the best at weaving in. I'm not that good yet. But I try. And I try not to bore. It should never bore you. John 3:16 should never be a sermon. I mean, should never be somewhere that you skip over and you don't know. It's very important. Very simple, but very, very profound. So as we continue through here, we want to see one thing for sure. And I know I get adamant about it sometimes. But I'm going to show you tonight, I think, through the prophet's message, why that we should be so adamant about the revelation of this message. Right. Not another message, not an opinion, not a hope or a quote, but a life lived. Amen. But that life lived, though, has to be lived with all, let's just say it this way, all the genetics of the Bible working through us. Now, Luther had it in form. Wesley had it in form. They could debate over things. Pentecost could debate over things. But this is a time for no debating. There's no reformers. This is the mind of God in you. As the prophet of God said, let's go back in the back part of God's mind. As reading Christ, the mystery of God revealed, I think it was yesterday or today. And when he went in, well, where were we before the foundation of the world? We were in the mind of God. Amen. As a thought. Yes, then, because of the fall, that expressed in mommy and daddy bringing you here, right. Born in sin, shaping in iniquity. We're going to probably cover that next week in one of the questions and answers. Is really what happens to your soul at the new birth. I mean, if we could, just pull it out and talk about it. Amen. Because that soul's the real you. Amen. Okay? That's what was in the mind of God. If you're born again tonight, that was what was in the mind of God. Right. Not something different. So there was no exchange. There was a change. Right. Everybody with me? Amen. God didn't take your soul out and put another soul in. Right. No. You are who you are, who you are. But by free moral agency, you decide. Is everybody with me? Amen. And we'll cover all that. Now, I know one thing's for sure. There's quotes where Brother Brown says you came here with this eternal seed in you, and we'll cover that. But you got to remember, if he went back in the back part of God's mind, that's what he was talking about, what God saw. Amen. Brother Mike Olteig covered it the other day so eloquently. You got the mind of God looking down. Right. perfect, no sin, never had a bad day, never had a time that you were lost. But you've got to look up and see what he saw, but he's looking down, and we've got to live life down here. So the prophet of God, if he tells us we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and I'll bring you a quote where Brother Brown said, we were born between Satan and Eve. Amen. Between Satan and Eve, we were born. What? Hybrid. That's right. Amen. We can't go out of here a hybrid.
Right.
We cannot go out of here a hybrid. A hybrid is what will kill you.
Right.
So the original word had to come back. That's why I'm so adamant about this message. This message is right. There is no other message. There is no other revelation. There is no other church we got to join. It's that Genesis 1:26 man finally being able to let himself out and to rule over this guy first.
That's right.
Amen. This guy first. Then help everyone else, and we'll get into that maybe tonight, maybe not, about the third pull. A note or two on that. But let's read Revelation 6, verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And that was the eagle anointing. So that was the eagle cry, the eagle scream that was not partial, that was perfect.
Amen.
Okay, everybody with me?
Amen.
And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death. Now, if we go back to what we were talking about Sunday, look up at the top. The name that sat on him was Death, capital D. That's the devil. Okay? That's spiritual death.
Right. Amen.
You with me?
Right.
Now, the lowercase d is death. Because he's going to kill once we get out of here. Listen, there's millions upon millions of people who's going to die. Billions are going to die after we leave here.
Right.
Billions.
Right.
With hunger, with death, and the beasts of the earth. Go ahead and sit down. I don't want to hold you up too much, but man, my legs are feeling good. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate everything you've done. I have had a past two or three days that has been wonderful. June can't catch me no more, so. I stumble every once in a while on purpose. But thank you, because this left knee was hurting me really bad. Now it's not. I don't know which one got operated on. Revelation 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. Now see, he was dead. He was dead. D-E-A-D, not capital D. The Lord Jesus never was capital D-E-A-D.
Right.
That's death in the soul.
Right.
But he did die in his flesh.
Yes.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. All right? So now, as we were talking about this, Malachi 4 is the complete revelation of the entire word. It is everything that we need to destroy death in a group of people that are dying by the moment.
Right.
We all are dying by the moment. Everything we do, even though we may feel good today, even though we may have everything going working right, as we get older, things happen. And some of you will have to just take my word for it. Brother Donald, he's just smiling away. Just take my word for it. Something will happen one day, and there'll be a muscle that comes up that you didn't even know was there.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll start hurting. Amen?
Right.
Right, Brother Donnie? Okay. Those phantom pains. But remember, that's what we're looking at, because the Word of God has got to override that.
Right.
Okay? Like it, as Brother Harris always said, this was not so. This should not have happened. None of this should have ever happened.
Right.
I say this, everything we live, getting 2026, that should have never happened. We should have lived in the Garden of Eden, just like we're going to in just a little while. When the future home comes down, we're going to go sit in that just like we should have done before. That's what we're heading toward, because remember, God can't change his mind. But he did let permissive will take over so we could worship him as a savior. If we're already totally healed, why would we need a healer? Why would we need to even pray? We're not going to have to pray when we get in the future home.
Right.
Who are you going to pray to? He's there. You've come to the apex. You've come to the ultimate. You don't have to carry a Bible with you anymore. You are a Bible. And as I would have been saying before, and I'll tell you again, all these things that we have learned in the past, we have got to not deny them. Paul said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Okay? Not denying them, but using them. 2 times 2 is 4 has been ingrained in my mind since the first grade. It's never changed. Amen. It's just got better when you start putting in square roots and all these other things that you apply to it. Same way with the Word of God. Do we have to go back into the Word of God to see whether it's right for a sister not to wear pants or us to not to do this? Or I'm talking about all of us. Do we have to do that? No. We should be continuing on to where the voice of God speaks in its, as the brother said the other day, speaks in its adult form or speaks in its authority form. All right, as Brother Keith was talking about, it's an authority form is what we're looking at now. It's because we want to realize something. Think about this just for a second. Brother Branham, under the third pull, if he hadn't have spoke that storm out of existence, him and those men would have died.
Right.
If he had not have spoke the tumor out of his wife would have died.
Right.
If he hadn't have spoke those two boys to Sister Meta, they may have never been saved. But the spoken word of God, we talk about third pull and second pull. The third pull is just, it's authority.
Right.
But when we come down to the third pull, we got to realize, me and Brother Keith were talking about the other day, you got to realize that when we come into the third pull ministry, which is now, which is supposed to be authority and maturity and knowing how to handle the word and knowing how to say amen, and not just say amen, but say amen to the word inside.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
But it's also, every time you turn it down, we'll read it. There's an eternally lost group of people that's going to listen to me, that's going to listen to a message sermon and go to hell and can't help it because they turned it down. They can't help it. But you turn it down, those people may have loved, may have got to Noah and said, hey, Noah, we don't believe that. We don't. You're just a kook. But now, what happened when the water started filling up? What happened when they couldn't swim? What happened when the fountains of the deep opened up and sucked them down and pushed them out? They might have been some really good swimmers that during that time, but they couldn't outswim what God was doing.
Right. Amen.
What were their thoughts then? I should have listened. But remember, they died. They were the ones that whole. Billions of people that lived before the flood, we're going to read it here in a little bit if we get to it, where Jesus went down and preached to those very people.
Right.
That was the third pull of Jesus' ministry, and they were lost, could not come out of there. They were doomed to hell.
Right.
Okay? We need to face this. There is a literal hell, and there is a literal consequence for not. Listen, if you say I don't understand it, that's what you need to say. If you say I don't believe it, be careful. That could be blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You say, well, them guys in Noah, they just turned Noah down. What about Moses? What about Noah? Did they turn Moses down? They turned Noah down? They turned God down. And if this is the final voice to the final age and this is the voice of God for the end time, I don't see anything else but that razor edge that Brother Branham was talking about. And if you get on one side, there's no way to come back except come to the top, repent, get back in order, and then get on the right side. Okay? That's the only way I see it.
Amen.
Listen, this is a fearful time. It's wonderful. We're getting ready to get out of here, but it's a fearful time. When the Bible even says that two laying in the bed, one to be took, one to be left. Two working in the field, one to be lit. You know what it's showing? It's showing a separation.
That's right.
All right?
Amen.
But you have today every resource to get it right.
Right.
Amen. every resource to get it right. We're not sitting in a denomination. We're not sitting in a place that preaches error.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
We're hearing truth, and I'm saying me. I'm hearing truth because I hear the brothers that I bring in. I listen to them also. Amen? So it's a five-fold ministry. It's not a one-fold. Amen? So the eagle anointing, that's what we're under, and we can't help it. Brother Brown tells us, in 1961, I like to watch the big eagle. You know, that father eagle, you know, God called himself an eagle. Did you know that? He called his prophets eagles. Now he continues on down, and now he's got a bunch of eaglets. Eaglets like Messiah's eaglets. So you and I are under the eagle anointing, but remember, we're not a chicken.
Right.
We're not a hawk. We're eagles. That only eat eagle food. Now, every once in a while, maybe when, like, the barnyard he was talking about, sometimes you have to peck around every once in a while, and then you got to find where you need to be.
Amen.
You need to realize you're an eagle.
Amen.
And start flying like one. Get up high so you can see things.
Right.
Man, I watched a hunting video the other day, and they were in Africa, and you look out across the plain, and about everything's equal. The trees are not very big, you know. And right out in the distance, you saw a tree sticking up, you know. Well, about three or four cuts later, there's the guy shooting a warthog or something, but he turns his camera around. That giraffe was about 8 or 10 feet above any tree. So Jeffrey, he could see miles around. Now think about you take an eagle and go about 500 feet above that. How much he can see. Well, that's the same way with me and you. We have no excuse. This is the eagle anointing. Can't get out from under it. You're either it or not it. Sorry. That's me and everybody else. Brother Brown said, look on the fourth seal. He says, look, that's the trouble today. Some of us don't get pressurized. We explode too quick, you see, when we're jumping. But we got to be pressurized. When you get up there and have the keen sight of the eagle to see what's coming and know what to do.
Right.
Now the eagle age revealed it.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot plead ignorance.
Right.
We cannot. We've got to be that army that I talked about Sunday. And we'll read it here and just review it real quick. That mighty army is the bride, the end time bride. Ezekiel. Because it's a group of people that came from dead, dry bones to an exceeding great army. Not just an army, an exceeding great army.
Amen.
That's going to take over. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and said, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy. What? Speak. Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And that's exactly what you and I are doing now. Come in here, a bunch of dry bones. I'm not talking about because you don't say amen. I'll be like an attorney. I'll withdraw that statement. But you'll not forget it. But I'm talking about you dead in denomination, dead in your own right, dead in nothing, dead in the world. Right? So what puts you together? The word of God, the breath of God every day, every time you pray, every time God speaks to you, every time God speaks to you through the prophet, through tape, through the prophet, through standing behind here, the prophet from downstairs talking to your friend downstairs, and y'all talk about the word of God, and God helps you, and you put that together in your life, that's God. Because the devil don't want that to happen.
Right.
Folks, the devil wants us divided.
Amen.
He does not want us to get together.
Nope.
We'll cover a little bit more of that Sunday. But remember, the four killers took it. We'll not go through that anymore because remember, there was a fourth stage of the dry bones. And what was it? That was the putting the breath in by the Holy Ghost and then them standing up
right.
as a mighty great army. And moving forward. What's the four stages of Ezekiel's dry bones coming forth? But the life only come, not when the skin was on them, but when the wind blowed upon them, that's when they come back, that fourth message of life. That's now. That's the message of the hour. This message is life.
Amen.
If it's the Son of Man message, then why can't we say, I am the bread of life?
Amen.
I'm not. But the word that we speak are.
That's right.
Huh? I have life for you. Are you not going to be at the White Throne Judgment and somebody give you a cup of water? Or someone do something good for you and they be just as filthy as can be? God said, I won't forget it.
Right.
Here or there. And they'll get eternal life because of you.
Right.
And let me give you a little example here. They will not get eternal life. Yes, they will get eternal life because Christ died on a cross. But that cross dying and him coming into you, and then you have a part to do with it.
Right.
See, if that person had come like us, he would have went to the cross
right. And
got saved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Got the Holy Ghost. So he's not looking at the cross like we're already looking at the cross. But we have to come down here and live the life. He sees the life of Christ in us. And then when we get to the White Throne Judgment, he's going to hear the very voice of God.
Right.
Speaking through you and I with authority to give them eternal life. And they never even cared probably about even having a crucifix anywhere. Didn't care nothing about a cross. You say, boy, that's tough. I said, no, it's not. It's God taking care of his people.
Right.
You know, it's God taking care of his own self.
Right.
We are him made manifest in another form called a bride. We're not two different people.
Right.
Eve and Adam were not two different people. They were the same person.
Right.
Literally, they were the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh.
Right.
Brother Ram says, life of my life. If you have eternal life in you today, you stood on the shores of Galilee.
Amen.
You said, let there be light.
Amen.
You said, dry bones, stand up and walk. Because remember, Brother Branham, he brings it in one of the messages. He said, I was with Washington as an American. I was with Washington when he crossed the Delaware. I was with Abraham Lincoln when he, you know, let the slaves go. I was with this one. Well, because he was identified as an American.
Yes.
Or if we're identified as a Christian, I'm not just identified because Brother Ram could be identified with Abraham Lincoln. But you and I, we're not identified. We're that person.
Right.
Made manifest in another form called the bride.
Right.
He has divided himself. And made no lesser of a person. The only problem we have is we were born by sex.
Right.
We were born wrong to begin with.
Yep.
Born in sin, shaping in iniquity. But he's turning that thing around, trying to get a group of people. That's why the Son of Man, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this one time. The Son of Man mentality has to be forefront in your mind. It has to be that whatever Jesus Christ did, that's what you're going to do.
Amen.
If you're going to be denied, if he's going to be denied, you're going to be denied.
Right.
If you're going to be hated by the religious world, like he was hated by the religious world, praise God.
Amen.
Because we are going to be, and we are now, being persecuted by people that supposedly are in this message.
Amen.
That's our hardest battle.
Yep.
Everybody with me?
Right.
The believe a sign and all that garbage. Everybody with me on this?
Amen.
That's garbage. There is nothing to that but demons.
Right.
That is the devil trying to get you away from the truth.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you tell me that's of God, I will. Let's talk for about a few minutes. I cannot believe some of the things that they're saying. But you know what? It had to come from his own ranks. There's that Judatarian spirit that is in this church. I'm talking about this one. I'm talking about in the church as a spirit that wants to divide and tell God what to do. And then what Judas was doing? Judas was saying, hey, why don't you do, why don't you do this? Why are you not doing this? I saw yesterday or today there was some brothers talking back and forth, and it was, of course, one of those naysayers. And he said, well, who are you praying to so you don't ever get, you know, you pray for this sister to get healed and she dies. Where's your God? Valid point. But you don't know. You got to remember one thing. We don't pray for God to change his will. We pray for us to add to his will, in his will, of his will, and not change it.
Right.
God can't change his mind.
Right.
Everybody with me? Now, we can see where Brother Branham says, and he did say one time or two times about God, that prayer changes things. Remember, you got to go back to the basic. God cannot change.
Right.
But he allows, in permissive will, he allows these things to happen for his honor and glory through me and you.
Right.
Through us.
Right.
He's going to destroy the devil.
Amen.
Everybody with me? Okay. So we come to this fourth seal, denomination. Everything's mixed. You look today. Everything's mixed together. How in the world, you look at these people, and you at 5 or 6 years old, they're telling me, well, if you want to be a girl, we'll make you a girl. If you want to be a boy, we'll make you a boy. Why? It's that same perverted demon that was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Didn't die. They just moved. They just moved here. And all the sorry individual pedophiles, even policemen the other day, got 16 counts of, I ain't even going to say it, a police officer.
Yep.
Taking advantage of a child. What is that? That's mental illness. That's sickness.
Amen.
But you and I, thank God, we have a standard because God said he'd raise it.
Amen.
We've got a standard against that. We've got a standard against all these things that we're trying, that we're dealing with in life. We're all dealing with stuff. But there's somebody going to navigate through it. They told Christopher Columbus, you're going to fall off. You're going to fall off the earth. It ain't nothing but flat.
Right.
Now, you flat earth people online, don't even send me a message. Garbage.
Amen.
And he'll never make it back because he's just going to fall off the earth. Guess what? He made it. He discovered. He made it back. So guess what? There was a way made. What am I saying is he went out on an impossible journey. Nobody believed him but himself. But he did what he said he was going to do, and he came back. And different ones have done the same thing, the ones that go to the moon and different things. Oh, those people who don't believe go to the moon. Anyway, whatever. Oh, conspiracy theorist. So the fourth seal... Sorry, Brother Manuel. The fourth seal is a pale horse. That word pale in the Bible means ashen, which is a color that represents decaying flesh. That's how putrid that is. And that's what's happening now. We are decaying, obviously, in our flesh, natural, but we're also decaying spiritually if we don't get the Word of God right. Okay, his name was Death, so we know what his name is. We know who he is. And hell follows that, which is the consequence of spiritual death. And then he's sent to kill the fourth part of the earth, which would be right now 2 billion people. So this fourth seal is going to, as Brother Mike Hultig and I were talking about, this fourth seal is going to, it's going to migrate all the way into the tribulation period. But you and I are going to have to come to a place we're going to have to have an Armageddon of our own.
Right.
We're going to cover that in the sixth seal. That will be our Armageddon.
Right?
Right? Which is a termination of forces on this earth. Because there's two forces working in this earth right now. This earth, your earth, both of our earth. One is life, one is death.
Right.
Okay? But I believe that the message of the hour separates it and tells you which one is here and which one is here, even though they may be, when I do like this, they're really like this. Okay? The devil's religious. I mean, his name was Death, and hell followed after him. Now, hell always follows death is in the fourth seal. In the natural, when the natural man dies, hell follows him. That's the grave, Hades. Does everybody understand that? Amen. When we say, we don't, hell, listen, hell's not burning right now. Lake of fire's burning maybe somewhere, but that's the lake of fire. Okay, is everybody with me? Because the interpretation of hell is Sheol or Gehenna or the grave. When you put them in the grave, they have separated from life to death. Okay, is everybody with me? But now what our situation is, we better pass from death unto life here before that happens. Everybody with me on that? That's why you must be born again. That is the most important thing.
Right.
When the natural man dies, hell follows him. That's the grave, Hades. That's in the natural. But in the spiritual, it's a lake of fire, see? All right? It's eternal separation where they're burned up and just, and that's a good way to put it, and just go away. Just go away. Because remember, the only time that demons and the devil are totally destroyed is in the lake of fire.
Right?
Right? Not in a millennium. They're held, bound for 1,000 years, and then they raise back up, right? All the demons, they have nowhere to work in us, and they just kind of are held by a bar. As Brother Bram said, they're held in a dimension until the very end. And then God looses them to do, to fight what? Not the battle of Armageddon, but the battle of Gog and Magog.
Right.
All right, everybody with me? Which now we're looking at, the millennium is a natural burning of the earth. It's man's fire. It is atomic explosion. Man's going to destroy theirself. But see, it will not destroy the people. Oh, sure, they'll die humanly. They'll just be stacked up in the fifth dimension. We'll be up in glory. Everybody with me?
Amen.
Okay. Then when we come up to the white throne judgment, they'll be raised back up, and then they'll be put into a place of torment if they're not born again. All right. So everybody with me on that?
Right.
The millennium, that when we to usher in the millennium is man's fire. The Battle of Armageddon is, Brother Brown says, a termination of forces, which means men fight men down here.
Amen.
When we get to Gog and Magog, it's going to be God's fire,
right,
that's going to turn this thing completely around. White throne judgment's over with. Everybody that's going in the new city is going to be somewhere in another dimension, and he's going to totally blow this thing apart with his own fire. Which is going to actually turn every element back to where it should have been had it not been a fall.
Right.
All right, everybody with me on that?
Amen.
But it's eternal separation. If you're not born again, or if you don't get eternal life, being saved. See, I want you to understand, being lost. We'll explain that next Sunday when we talk about the spirit and the soul. Because thief on the cross, he was lost.
Right.
He wasn't a born-again believer.
Right.
But he got eternal life.
Right. Right.
Okay? The foolish virgin in our eyes are lost. In God's eyes, they're lost because they have to give their life. They have to die. They don't go in a sixth dimension.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
The only people that are not lost is bride.
Right.
Okay? So I'm not putting people in hell. They'll do it themselves.
Right. Amen.
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 So let's don't just say, well, you know, this is if you say they're lost. Listen, without this message, we are lost.
Right.
Where are you going to go? What are you going to depend on?
Right.
You're just a lost, wandering soul.
Amen.
Oh, I'll depend on this back here. Well, that never worked before.
Right.
Amen.
That didn't work. This is the only thing that works. Because it's of God. So don't get me wrong. At the white throne judgment, you can be given eternal life, but in God's eyes, you were lost because you never accepted him as Savior and accepted him into your soul. Is that okay? Could be given eternal life. I mean, the foolish version is going to be given eternal life. But they got to go through the tribulation period. They got to stand at the white throne judgment with their knees knocking.
Amen.
And God opens their life up. And the Bible said they'll be judged by their works. Listen, I want to be judged by God's works tonight. I want us to be judged by Christ. That way we don't have to be judged again. There's no double jeopardy in God.
Right. Amen.
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 But there will be a group that will have to stand there and say, oh, God, I did that. Oh, God, I turned you down here, but I'm so sorry. Listen, God knows their heart. God knew David's heart.
Right.
For what David did in this church, he'd be excommunicated.
Right.
Well, I'll preach anyway.
Right.
Moses would have been excommunicated.
Right.
Need I continue? Samson would not have been a deacon. But he's going to be in heaven.
Amen.
Because God knew his heart.
Amen.
His heart was right with God. He didn't have a new birth to change him. See, that's why our excuse, we don't have that excuse.
Right.
We have a new birth here. We have a baptism of the Holy Ghost that will turn your soul into the soul of God.
Amen.
And not just save you, sanctify you, fill you with the Holy Ghost and put you in service. That's what saving is. Everybody all right? You're a little quiet tonight, but at least you're not asleep. But I'm trying to hit home because Sunday we're going to cover a little more of this than we did tonight. And it's hard to do it on Sunday. I am trying to work on something. Brother Luis and I discussed it the other day, and I want you to pray about it. We have got so many new people. Now, I can name names here that have been sitting in this church for 25, 30, 40 years. Brother Colley and Brother Darty, 50 years. When somebody talks about something, we should know what it is. But there's some that hadn't. And that's okay. And like I said before, God will never, ever leave a true heart, never leave them stranded. But you got to have a true heart. You can't just show up every once in a while and think you're going to get something from God.
That's right.
Hello?
Amen.
Those who endure to the end shall be saved.
That's right.
Hey, your enduring may be me.
Amen.
Did you interpret that okay? Say it again. Me. I just, when Brother Santos got up here, I'm like, hallelujah.
Amen.
I'd have never thought that. Some of y'all, you'd have to drag you up here and tape you to the pulpit. And you'd still be ill. But Brother Santos just walked right up here and he stood right here and he sang two beautiful songs.
Amen.
Oh, it's a joyful heart.
Right.
And we almost, if we'd have been about another minute, I'd have had his wife up here. See, Sister Sandra, she was almost getting ready to get up when you stopped. I should have made you sing one more song, and she'd have got up there with you. See? Sandra says, mm-hmm. We love the diversity. There was a guy stopped by today. Some of you saw him downstairs. He lives in Alto. He's an ex-Marine, and he's going through a bad time. And we give him a little a little offering. And he said he would be here Sunday. But, you know, people go through stuff like that.
Right.
And I told him, I said we're a loving church. We care for people. And he said, well, what do y'all believe? I said, well, you'll have to show up Sunday to see that. So he lost his Bible, so I gave him a Bible. But I bragged on how many people in this congregation is from another country. Or has origin. We all do if we go back far enough.
Right.
But I'm talking about the Hispanic brothers and sisters that we love so much.
Yes.
And from Trinidad. We got some Trinis. And African. And Congolese. And Honduran. What am I missing? And Philippines. Colombia. They're not here, but wherever they're out in the airways, we're calling your name. And any other, I'm talking about pure nationality that come to this church. Brother Anderson, him in the back there, and all the different languages, Wavine and Ebenezer, you know, they're quiet as they can be, but they say, I love you every time I see them. Amen, they say, I love you. I love you. I love you. And he speaks French and a couple of different languages. But they've all, and Onan. Onan speaks English now. He didn't speak English when he come here. What am I saying? We're just a melting pot. But I like the pot right. That we're melted in. Amen. We're all together as one. I told the brother, I said, look, I said, the Congolese don't sit over here and the Americans sit over here. I said, that'll never happen in this church. Right. And then all the black folks that we got, Lord of mercy. African American. There's always one to keep you humble. Always one. I ain't saying nothing else. But listen, we all got one goal. And that's to make that rapture. To make that body change and to make a rapture. And to go to a place where you don't have to part and you don't have to wear them things in your ear. Don't have to wear that no more. We all speak the same language. What a mighty God. I just love him for what he's done. I mean, he's brought people together from... you sit down, and I know y'all don't know as many people as I do, diverse people out in the message, but just sit down and say, I'd have never met that person. If it wasn't for the Lord putting us together. And my tithe, I stole this from a brother from India. But I met him, and I said, man, I love your tithe. He said, okay. I said, well... I got some of those pins. I don't have one on here because I gave him the one off of my shirt, off of my thing here. I said, but I got the little cloud. He said, well, we'll trade. I said, well, good. I said, well, where are you going to go? He said, well, I'm going to Arizona. I said, well, I'll send them out there, and you can pick them up when you get out there. He said, well, I'm going to send you this, what did he say, special delivery or something. He said, I'm going to send you this special delivery. I'm going to send it to you overnight or something like that. Well, after the service was over, we're in a motel room. Brother knocks on the door and he said, here, special delivery. I thought I was going to have to wait till he got to India and then send it back. No, he said, here, special delivery. So, and that helps me to remember the brother. I said, I'll remember you every time. Samuel. Yeah, his name was Samuel. But I remember him. So, but you the same way. You got people that you fellowship with that you'd have never known had it not been for the Lord and this message bringing us all together, right? Yeah, oh, yeah, that whole bunch up there. They all in that little circle right up there. All the, not only the Negrons, all them people up, all them Ohio people up there, crazy bunch of goofy people. But we'd have never met them. And we sure appreciate them. We love them. I know they're watching in because they said they was watching in. But we love them with the love of the Lord. They got a place in my heart. You know that. And actually, this new guy that's coming Sunday, he's Puerto Rican. Well, his mama was from Puerto Rico. His daddy was Greek Lebanese. So he looks a little bit like a terrorist. But, and I'll tell him that when I see him Sunday. But. Big tall guy, Lebanese, real dark, you know, something like what boys would look like with a turban, you know. Exactly. But we're family. Amen. We're just family. That's right. I don't want anybody to think that I'm untouchable, June's untouchable, any of us is untouchable. We're just family people. Family members wanting one thing. There's no animosity that I don't want. Oh, I want this one to make it, but I don't want that one to make it. Now, what kind of Holy Ghost is that? There's no Holy Ghost in that. But as individuals, We've got to make that choice. I can't make it for you. I can try to get you under the water to where you can get wet. But you've got to realize what you need to do to carry on. Okay? Because I'm not going to get anywhere, so I just took up a little time there. Just get you wet eyes every once in a while, a little bit. So, I love you. Amen. That group up there, too. But we've got to see, and we'll talk about it this coming weekend. I keep bringing it back. The spirit of Judas came back upon the false church. See how that Judas spirit come back as the rider on the white horse. Then he went, I'm going to paraphrase, he went to the red. He went to the different ones, and now he's in what? He is in that ashen color or pale horse. And he's got this thing so mixed up, and that's the problem sometimes with the people in the message. And I'm just going to say it because I say it anyway. I sometimes, Dad said it too. He said, I don't blame some of these people for sitting at home listening to tapes. He said, the garbage that they heard in the pulpit, now that come from my dad. You can find that if you want to on back in the archives. But he said the same thing. He said, some I don't blame. But he didn't say it was right. No, by the foolishness of preaching is the only way we're going to get out of here. It's the only way we're going to be perfected. But what about the true seed? It will happen just as we have said. The people of God are being made ready by the word of what? Truth. From the messenger to this age. In her will be the fullness of Pentecost, for the Spirit will bring the people right back to where they were at the beginning. Not 1906. Pentecost, upper room, where the Holy Ghost fell on 120. He said, that is thus saith the Lord. Amen. So now let's do just a few minutes. We'll try to finish right at 8:30. Getting the bride together, then the resurrection of the dead to be caught up with it. Now, we covered this, but I want to cover it one more time. Watch the three things. A shout, a voice, a trumpet. Now, the third thing is a trumpet, which always at the Feast of Trumpets is calling the people to the feast. Calling. Look, shout is with an utterance. Voice is with an utterance. Huh? Trumpet is with an utterance. All three of them is a sound made by someone breathing. Yeah, I know it's good. So actually, I just thought that myself. Thank you, Lord. But a shout is what? Get the people together. If somebody stands out and goes, hey, well, that message was so much of a shout to, that's what Brother Brandon was talking about. It was getting the people together. Now, we got to break apart that little piece where he said, not in the years of preparation. Because remember, the shout is the message. All right, hold on. I'll read it here in a second. Feast of the Trumpets. That'll be the bride's supper. So the Feast of the Trumpets, or the trumpet sounding, is going to be at the marriage supper. In other words, we're already been caught up. First comes forth is his message, calling the bride together. Listen, the healing campaign did not bring the bride together. Right. Not in the years of preparation. Right. That didn't bring the bride together. It brought denominations together. Didn't get rid of one of them. But listen, the people were sick. God knew the people were physically sick. So he sent a healing campaign. Amen. But that healing campaign was just the worm on the hook. The hook is the message to change your body. The hook is the seven seals, the thunder of God, when the seal opens to us as individual people. The first thing comes forth is his message, calling the bride together. So we got to come together. The next thing is a resurrection of the sleeping bride. What? A Son of Man ministry resurrecting us out of our own death and the death of the people that actually died in the grave. Everybody with me? The ones died. back in the other ages. Listen, we always call the name of people that died here. You know, we'll see your dad, we'll see my dad, we'll see this one, we'll see that one. That's just a microcosm of what's going to happen that day.
Right.
Paul's people are going to resurrect.
Right.
Exactly right.
Irenaeus' people are going to come up, but they're going to come up where they're not going to come here.
Nope.
Paul's people are going to come up over there in the close to the seven church ages.
Right.
Amen? Because that's what they're familiar with. Listen, you'll never lose your humanity. All the former things are going to pass away, all the bad things, but you're going to remember things.
Right.
The people that died under Paul's message, you don't think they believe Paul?
Yeah.
And they're sitting over there in the sixth dimension with Paul? He's going, hang on a little while. I saw that we, without that group, cannot be made perfect.
Right.
Hebrews 11:40. All the church ages will be coming up together. They'll gather with their people. We'll gather with the people that we know. And you know what I tried to do? I tried to sit one day, and Sister Regina, I tried to just, in my body, what a change would feel like. And what the next 10 minutes after that change would feel like. Couldn't get anywhere. Because I moved and I hurt. I had a bad thought while I was doing that. So we can't imagine. That's why the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what's coming up. But it's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to change us.
Yes.
It's going to, like right now, where our thoughts are being changed. If your thoughts are not changed, your body's not going to be changed.
Yes.
Because your body is going to be changed by what you are inside.
Yes.
Amen? Because that person inside of you tonight, it is already eternal.
Yes.
It's that dry bone that's come up out of the ground.
Right.
What? This ground. Come up out of this earth.
Yes.
And the trumpet is the feast of the heavens and the sky. Well, that's the thing that takes place, friends. We're right there ready now. The only thing the church coming out, what? Has got to lay before the sun and do what? Mature. God is not going to rapture immature fruit.
Amen.
Three things happen, a shout, a voice, a trumpet. Finish real quick right here. Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. So in Revelation 10, all right, hang with me just a second because I'm going to break this down and then we'll stop. Because remember, Revelation 10:1, the mighty angel comes down from heaven with a little book in his hand. Everybody with me? Now, this is a mighty angel. It's not Jesus in human flesh. It's Christ.
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because where was that book? That book was in the hand of the original owner.
Amen.
But I want you to think about this for a second. In Revelation 5, it says a book. In Revelation 10, and it was closed. In Revelation 10, it says it's a little book.
Right.
What if the names in the book in Revelation 5, because that's all the redeemed. Adam, Moses. You say, oh, no, that's Brett. Oh, come on, people. He redeemed them.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He redeemed them all the way from Adam.
Right. Amen.
That's why the book was a big book. Because it was the names of everybody. And I'm talking about that, included in that is foolish virgin. Cup of water in my name. The people in Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal that was faithful to their age and received the Holy Ghost. Is everybody with me? But when you go to Revelations 10:1, that mighty angel that came down, he came down, he said the seventh angel messenger was on the earth at the time of this coming. So now you got a book that's little. Because that's bride.
That's right.
That's his bride.
Amen.
Moses is not bride.
Right. Right.
All those Old Testament prophets is not bride.
Right.
The 144,000 is not bride.
Right.
The cup of water in my name is not bride.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
The Indian that served a God that didn't know that it was Jesus hanging on the cross, but Brother Brown said they'll be judged by their, in other words, their tribe and their tribal ways. Same thing in Africa. No, when he comes down to Revelation 10:7 or 10:1, he's bringing the bride's book with him.
Amen.
He's bringing the bride.
Amen.
Is everybody all right with that?
Because
what this is doing, Revelation 10 is narrowing it down. All the other ones are going on.
Right.
And if Revelation 10:1 correlates with that same man that was in Revelation 1, same person, you read it, it's got his characteristics. I wasn't going this way, but maybe we'll cover it Sunday. But that's exactly who Christ is. He's what? Standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. The little book. From Pentecost to the day we get out of here. That's his bride. And he is coming down with those names. Now watch. Jesus does all of them when he's descending. So he's coming down. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word of God. All right. Is everybody okay with that? What is a shout? It's the message going forth first. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things, and he never changes his policy. He's an unchanging God. In Amos 3:7, he said he would do nothing on the earth till he first revealed it to his servants, the prophets. Just as certain as he promised it, he'll do it. Paradox, 1964. How are we going to lose this great race? It's because we're divided. How are we going to do it? We got to stay together. We're all believers in God. The Holy Ghost takes us all in. It'll be a paradox if God ever gets us together, but he will. There's not three or four different books. There's not three or four different messages. There's not three or four different messengers for us. I'm talking about us. All the other ones are gone. Listen, gone. But he will. Just trust him. The virgin birth. He knows how to send the persecution that will run us together.
Amen.
Oh, I'll read this. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. There's been no revival there, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. Now, he's talking about the bride. We're looking for it. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. He will send it. He promised. Now, what are the seven thunders? That is the revelation of the seals when they break to group of people. Not a group, but individuals.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
When that seal breaks, you're going to understand the first seal is justification. Yours.
Right.
Hmm? We've already been through all that. Don't have to go through that again. The first thing sound, first is a shout, a voice, a trumpet. Cover this one more time. A shout is a messenger getting the people ready. All right, now, hold on a second. Revelation 10:1, the mighty angel comes down, right? Seven thunders utter their voice. John is beginning to write. John is the type of the who?
Bride.
All right, John's the type of the bride. So the bride hears and sees the thunders.
Right.
Okay? So it's not some mysterious thing of polygamy and you got to listen to this certain group of people, and we've been through it all, folks.
Amen.
Right.
It's a revelation of God to you.
Right.
Okay? So the thunders sound. John is told to seal it up till the time of the end. Time of the end. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound. In the days of the seventh angel, who is he? He's the messenger to this age.
That's right.
Right? He's the messenger to get the people ready. Then, Brother Brown, here's my interpolation, interpolating. Years of preparation. He said it's not that. Okay? Everybody with me? That's the shout. It's tying up the loose ends, bringing back the faith of the fathers. And the second voice, the second is a voice of the resurrection, which is the Son of Man, which is thunders. Brother Brown said the same voice, a loud voice in St. John 11:38, that called Lazarus from the grave. When Lazarus came out of that tomb, death was temporarily destroyed. Temporarily, I said, temporarily destroyed. But when he resurrected out of that grave, it wasn't temporarily destroyed. It was destroyed for eternity. That's the Son of Man. But we got to also remember that death and hell manifest itself in this age. We know more, as I said the other day, we know more about death than anybody else known to man. If not, they wouldn't have wrote all. And people wrote songs by inspiration, I know. My name was written in heaven, you know, when I got saved. And, you go through all these and it's not true. Brother Dale's not walking streets of gold right now. He's not sitting at Jesus' feet right now. He might be with his mama. But all those songs and all those things, they were because of partial understanding. But you and I know what death is now. Right. What it does to an individual naturally and spiritually, and where their soul goes after natural death. And what happens to their soul after spiritual death. Hello? Yeah. Third pull. Totally lost. Right. Gone. Can't make it back. I hate that, but I didn't say that. Brother Bram did. Right here, and then we'll stop. Come on, musicians. Now, none of the other horses or no time that rider ever rode, they didn't have. That man had no name. But now he's called Death. It's not mentioned, see. He's revealed now what he is Death. And, well, how we could linger on that for a sermon and make it real plain. But watch this. We still believe Brother Brown was a prophet, right?
Amen.
Okay. Anything that is against the real has to be death. Because there's only two subjects, life and death. And that proves that the Holy Spirit's revelation of this in this day, I'm talking about this, he's talking about the seals, is exactly the truth. The anti, he's death, because the word, as we'll see later on, is life. And this man is called death. Not under the revelation of the lion age or the first age. It wasn't revealed. The next age was ox age, dark age, middle age. Wasn't revealed there. Man-like beast of wisdom, representing the reformers, Luther and Wesley, wasn't revealed. But in the eagle age, the last age, in other words, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. Well, what is the mystery of God? Read in Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the thing Satan can't understand and he hates. Because he cannot do anything about it. Once you're born again, he can't touch your soul. He can manipulate your spirit and get your body to do things because of the spirit realm, but he cannot get to your soul. But in the eagle age, the last age, the prophetic age, where there is to rise prophetic utterance, see, to whom the secrets always comes. Then I wrote myself a note. I'll stop right here. It was death to those who rejected it. Then we'll talk about the third pull on Sunday. Let's stand our feet. The word of the Lord, if we let it get us down and look at the negative, we're in trouble. But what we got to do is look at the positive. There is going to be someone to make it in the rapture. There is going to be someone that's going to destroy death. There is going to be someone that's even going to come to a place, speaking condition, to where you need a storm moved out of the way. You need something moved. You need gas in your tank. You need food on your table. We've been told these things. We've been told that we would maybe physically bereft. We may have to, they may put the clamps down on us so much to where we can't meet together. But we're going to meet together until that time. And we don't worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it until it happens. And when it does, then we'll look up. We'll look up because our redemption is drawing nigh. And we'll be ejected out of this place. We'll be rejected, but we'll be ejected. Let's sing a song if you have a need.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until you're all.
Take care of us.
When we're all on the altar.
Just remember, to get with Sister June about the next weekend coming up, not this one.
Is your own.
And if you'll keep it in prayer that we'll have a good time this coming Sunday and answer questions, and then we'll have another good time learning some more songs.
Exit this evening. Bless the people as we leave. I'm praying for the church as they leave.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you so thankful for the heaven of God that they can provide all of our needs. We're thankful for the word that we heard tonight. Father, we pray, Lord, it was a blessing to each and everyone here and those who heard it over there with, Lord. Father, just be with us now, Lord, as we go on our way and watch over us and bring us back together again, safe and sound. We love you. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're dismissed. Amen. You have longed for sweet peace.